Dear Lord, thank you today for the message you are about to speak through me. May we understand the word and may we receive it with faith. May we receive it with an open heart and an open mind. And may it help us in our walk with you to know you more. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Use me, Lord, as your instrument today, that I'll speak your will, not my will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about Paul. I was asked to talk about Paul. And last week, Pastor Perry was talking about soul winning, if I remember it correctly. And I think the life of Paul, or Paul himself, was one who won so many souls for Christ. Through his ministry, many people came to know about Jesus. So he is an example of soul winning, an example of his life represents an example of one who won souls to Christ. But what is the relationship between Paul and us in this endeavor of winning souls? I think one lesson we can learn from Paul, it is how his life was transformed. And without transformation, there cannot be a genuine work for the Lord. You cannot effectively win people to God if your life is not transformed. Now, so Paul's life was transformed and he was made ready to this great commission. So I want to talk about his life before transformation and what happened after he was transformed, or to what realization he came after he, through revelation, he came to know Jesus Christ. Because we need to know Jesus Christ through revelation also. Now, there must be a transformation, but this transformation comes through revelation. Now, the life of Paul teaches us something else. It teaches us about Jesus' ministry in the world. And one of these lessons is told, Paul tells us in the first book of Timothy, chapter number 1, verse 15. And he says here, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Now, in this passage, Paul tells us why Jesus came to this world. And this is one aspect that we learn from Paul's life about Jesus' ministry. Now, there's another aspect that I'm going to talk about towards, as I will be concluding today's message, why Jesus Christ came to this world. I can also preach without the PPTs. If Pastor Ferry, can I? Yeah, I can preach without the PPT, without showing the slides. I mean, without the projection, but I need to see my notes there. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is who was Paul? Because I want to talk about this transformation. So, who was he before knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Bible tells us that Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee. And he was, at the same time, Roman. Now, from his citizenship was Roman citizenship. How did a Pharisee become a Roman citizen? In the time when Paul was doing his ministry, in the time when Paul was alive in this working in this world, actually, incidentally, also in the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing his ministry, the Jewish people, they were under the dominion of the Romans. So Rome that time was controlling several countries in Europe and some countries in Asia Minor and some countries in Africa. Now, in this context, Paul was born in one of the independent cities of Rome called Cilicia. By virtue of that, thank you, brother. Okay. So you see, Paul was born in Cilicia, Tarsus. By virtue of that, he was a Roman citizen. But actually, his parents were Jewish people. So from birth, he was Jew. And that's what Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, verse 4 to 5. He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised in the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. So he was a Pharisee, and he was born of Jewish parents. So by virtue of that, he was a Jew, Hebrew. And Paul tells us, we see here from this passage, that he did not accept, or he didn't become assimilated to the life that was going on during this time, which was dominated by the Roman culture, mainly the Roman and the Greek culture. In this time, what the cultures that were dominant were the Jewish and, I mean, were the Roman and the Greek cultures. You know, sometimes when we live in a world where it is dominated by some values and some views, we may easily get also in line with those views. But Paul here says he was a devout, we would call a devout Jew, a Pharisee. Who were the Pharisees, though? Who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees, the word Pharisee comes from the Latin word Pharisaeo, which means those who are set apart. So Paul was in this group, these people who called themselves set apart. And these were ones who followed the law of God strictly. They followed the law of God to the letter. And in that time where Paul was living, there were actually two sects of Pharisees. Those who belonged to the strict party, and ones who belonged to a party that was not very strict. And Paul, he tells us in the book of Acts, chapter number 26, verse 4 and 5. Let me give you a little background. Paul was making his defense before Agrippa because he had been caught for his new hope that he had now. And he says, my manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I've lived as a Pharisee. So there were two parties, as I said, and Paul was He belonged to the strictest of them. And this party actually was, we call it the school of Shemai. So these were the strict ones. And there's another party. These were students of Eliel. These were not very strict in their following of the law. Let me exemplify that. What do you mean by they were not very strict? For example, it is said that those who belong to the school of Shemai, they were against the interpretation of the law. They would follow the law literally, how it said. But those who belong to Hillel, they would interpret the law to understand the meaning behind the letter. I was reading about this example. It's a funny example, actually. So, for example, this illustration used to distinguish these two schools. And those who belong to the strictest party, like Paul, for example, if you found yourself in a situation where two people are getting married and say the wife is not very beautiful. So should the husband say in the day of their marriage that the wife is not beautiful? For those following Shammai, they should say so because the Bible is against lying. So the truth should be told no matter what. But they illustrate from the school of Hillel, they would say, beauty depends on the eyes of the beholder, right? So, and all brides, in the day of their wedding, they are beautiful. So there's a kind of interpretation there. There's a kind of middle ground there. So this is an illustration that was used to distinguish these two schools. But Paul here was from the strictest party of it. So they followed the law to the letter. Now, if you familiar with, if you read the Bible, or sometimes if you watch, I used to do that. I still do. I watch the movies of the Lord Jesus, and the depiction you have there, you have Jesus always arguing the Pharisees, right? They are from two antagonistic sides, but actually there were some parts in which the Lord Jesus agreed with the Pharisees. Now, Paul again here saying in the book of Acts chapter number 24, 15 to 14, he says, but these I confess to you that according to the way which they call a sect, the Pharisees were a sect, two party of them, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So, these Pharisees, their pillars, the pillars of their teachings were two. They believed in the law of Moses and the prophets, and they believed that there would be resurrection of the dead. Now, this might sound familiar to us. The Lord Jesus actually came to preach the resurrection, right? He was resurrected also. But also, besides that, the Lord Jesus told us, he said, do not think that I've come to abolish the law and all the prophets. I've come to establish them, but I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So see, the Lord Jesus also, he didn't come to say, we don't follow the law anymore. I'd say he came to fulfill them. And it is in this second part that the Pharisees and the Lord Jesus did not agree too much. That the Lord Jesus had come to fulfill the law and the prophets. But the resurrection part, they were in agreement. We see the disciples of Jesus, Peter says, this world, as we know it, is going to be abolished. It will be destroyed, right? Since we know that this world that we live in will be destroyed, what manner of life we ought to live? He says we ought to live self-controlled lives. So there will be a day, and Peter says again, this is Paul, the book of Hebrews, say, it is appointed to man to die once, and after death, there is judgment. So both the just and the unjust, they will die or will all die, and then there will be judgment, right? So the Pharisees also believed that both the unjust and the just people will be resurrected when in the day appointed by the Lord. The Pharisees, they were the guardians of the law, right? They were the people who, they were the teachers of the law. And they were the people who had a great understanding of the law. But there was something that they were missing. And first thing is that the Lord Jesus actually came to fulfill the law. And another thing that put Jesus at odds with the Pharisees, right? So this, if you think about the Pharisees, right, just think about this side is the Pharisees and that side is the Lord Jesus. Now, it's the part, it's the fulfillment part. And the fact that the Pharisees actually, they were missing something from the law, because why had the Lord given us all those laws? Right? There was something, the law of God was alive. There was life in that law. And the Lord Jesus came to reveal that life that was beneath the letter. And this is what the Pharisees could not accept. And the Lord Jesus says of the Pharisees, he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is, the Lord Jesus says these words in the book of Matthew chapter number 5. And you know, the book of Matthew chapter number 5, you might know that, is the book where the Beatitudes are written. And the Lord Jesus says, for example, Moses had told the Hebrew people that they should not commit adultery, right? They should not commit adultery. So the Pharisees would hold on to that. Okay, we do not commit adultery. But the Lord Jesus comes in this, into the scene and says, it is not enough not to commit adultery by completing or doing the act. He said, if you look at a man or a woman in your heart lustfully, you have already committed adultery. He said, you heard that you shall not kill. But if you hate a brother or a sister, you have already killed. So you see, the Lord Jesus goes beyond the letter. And he says, we should be more righteous than the Pharisees by not holding only onto the letter, but we have to understand that this message, these letters, they are supposed to, the message that is in the letter, they go beyond that. And that is what the Lord Jesus came to fulfill in this word, by revealing that on the one hand, and by helping us living this kind of life on the other hand. And the Lord says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with a finger. So they were not willing to go a step further in what Moses had taught. Now, because of all this, first aspect, because the Pharisees did not believe that the Lord Jesus came to fulfill the law, and the Lord Jesus now is undermining the reputation of the Pharisees. Because you see, Josephus, the historian, he says the Pharisees in the first century, they were seen as those who had the most excellent understanding of the scripture, of the law of Moses. And they were seen as these perfect people by everyone else. And now the Lord Jesus says, you have to be more perfect than they are. So now you see, the Lord Jesus is undermining their reputation before the society, right? Before their fellow 100 men. So because of this, there was this enmity, right, between the Pharisees and the Lord Jesus. Now Paul, he determined in his heart that he would help eliminate the teachings of the Lord Jesus. And after the Lord Jesus died and resurrected, he left to his disciples some commandments, some instructions, that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And indeed, they received the Holy Spirit, and they started preaching more boldly, with all boldness, about this Jesus, whom the Pharisees saw as an enemy. Now, Paul took into himself to stop this message. And one famous story, the beginning of within the book of Acts, the first writings we hear about Paul, it was that he was present in the killing of Stephen. Now, Stephen was this a disciple of the Lord who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who boldly was speaking about the Lord Jesus. And Saul was determined, the other Pharisees were determined to eliminate him and all those who were following these teachings. In the book of Acts, chapter number 8, verse 1 and to 3, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. And on that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison." So you see, this is Paul's life before he came to Jesus Christ. Persecuting the church, killing those who believe, bringing them to prison. And he says, Paul of himself here, "I myself was convicted that I ought to do many things in opposition to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, as I did for Stephen. And I punished them often in all synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." So Paul was living his life, devoting all his energy to stop this name of Jesus from being preached. Meanwhile, he was following the law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets. And Jesus tells us that we should be careful. He told his listener, "Be careful of the Pharisees, because they are concerned with the outward appearance. They are concerned with what other people say. They follow the letter, but they refuse to accept the truth." But Paul needed to know Jesus through and by revelation. And when that happened, his life was transformed. It says, Paul, in the book of Acts, chapter number 26, verse 14, relating how he came to accept the Lord Jesus. And he says, "Saw this light." And he says in verse 14, "And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" It was in this moment when Jesus revealed himself to Paul that Paul's life was transformed. Now I say, you need to know him by revelation. That is this type of knowledge Paul talks about in his letters. It is called epignosko knowledge. A kind of knowledge that comes through revelation. And until you get to that place, you will live a life of appearances. Did the pastor see me that the way I was praying this week? Did this brother see me that the way I was reading the scripture this week? Right? And you'll beat yourself. You want to do this, you want to do that, but you can't. But in front of everyone, you are following Moses and the prophets. But there's no real transformation inside your heart. God is concerned with our heart. The transformation, not the appearances. And the fruits of that transformation will only become to manifest in the life of a believer if he knows Jesus through revelation.
Amen.
Pray. Say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. May I know you through revelation. What do you want me to do in this life for you? What is the way that I should follow? Do not only live to please others. Paul's story, the life of the Pharisees, actually speaks volumes. I think we, by nature, we just live to show off, right? Our righteousness, right? How smart we are, and so on and so forth. Now let us see what Paul said after this life-changing moment when he knew the Lord Jesus. First, he says in second book of Corinthians chapter 3:5-6, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul says, the letter of the law, as long as you don't know the Spirit that is in the letter, through revelation, by the Spirit of God, you cannot be made perfect. You cannot follow him perfectly. Because there's no life in the letter. Jesus says again in the book of Matthew chapter number 5:48. He said, be perfect therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is putting us in front of us a challenge. We ought to be perfect. We ought to be perfect. Because our Lord is perfect. In Leviticus, it says, be holy because the Lord your God is holy. It's not enough to be, to be perfect in your following of the law only. There should be this complete perfection. But you cannot do that by yourself. No one can do it by themselves. Right? We need Jesus. And thank God because he has made it possible because he gave us the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And Paul says here in the book of Philippians, I'm coming back to this passage now, focusing on the last part of it. I read again, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to the zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. So Paul was blameless under the law. But whatever gain I had, he says, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Brothers and sisters, no matter how hard you can try to follow his teachings, but if you don't have a relationship with him, without him, you cannot do it. You cannot be perfect without the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Paul says, God made it possible. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So the Lord Jesus says we need to be perfect. We ought to be perfect as our Father is perfect. How do we do that? By the righteousness that the Lord God has granted us through Jesus. So accept him, accept Jesus genuinely in your heart and seek to have this relationship with him. And Paul says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Jesus Christ came for you and I to make it possible for us to live this perfect life. So long as we accept him in our hearts and let him rule in our hearts, we can be perfect before God. Amen.
Amen.
Stop trying on your own. You cannot do it on your own. And you might ask, how do I do it? How do I let Jesus rule over my life? Through prayer, asking him in his kindness to be in your life every single day. As you wake up in the morning, pray, Lord, help me to walk like you. Father, may I know you through revelation. And ask him to put in your heart the words you should say when you find people. How you should react when you find yourself in certain situations, particularly adverse situations. How should you respond when you are tempted? How to lead a self-controlled life. This is the number one aspect. The second aspect, read the Bible. The Bible will equip you to respond to different situations in your life.
Amen.
Be friends with your Bible. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Let Jesus rule over your heart. Not you. Let your ego. That's why the Lord Jesus says, if you want to come, anyone wants to come to me, as to deny themselves and carry their cross and follow me. So you have to deny yourself and carry the cross of the Lord Jesus. I said two lessons we learn from the life of Paul and how he was changed from being a persecutor of the church to being a follower of the Lord Jesus. The first lesson is, no matter how sinful you are never beyond the reach of God's love.
Amen.
You see, Paul was persecuting the church, killing those who professed his name. Right? He was a sinner. He said, I'm the foremost. You might be sitting there as I'm saying that you have to let the Lord Jesus rule over your life. So Sergio, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I have gone through, right? But no matter how stained you are with sin, your sin cannot outmatch God's love for your life.
Amen.
Your sins are not bad enough to bring God's love to an end. And if you have strayed from him, or perhaps you're sitting down here and you have never entered a relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? He still loves you. And no sin will ever change that. If anyone was least deserving of the love of God, of this kindness to be transformed, I think it was Paul, right? But in that, the Lord showed him mercy. He says in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, the Lord Jesus didn't come to save those who are already righteous, to seek to have a relationship with those who are righteous. Even those who are, actually say, it's not the those who are well who need a doctor. The sick need a doctor. Right? So no matter how, what you're going through now, if you are willing today to follow him, to let him reveal himself into your heart, and to become perfect through him, the Lord can do it today.
Amen.
The second lesson we get from Paul's life is that no matter how righteous you are never above the need for Jesus. See, Paul and the Pharisees, they were righteous, right? They were following the law of Moses. They were following the prophets. But Jesus says, we need to be, he tells his listeners, you need to be more righteous than the Pharisees. Now, how do you become more righteous than the Pharisees? By accepting Jesus, by accepting his message, by accepting his atonement power, which was denied by the Pharisees. And the Lord Jesus says, it's nothing. It's not enough. There are Christians today, and I do apologize if you are in this category. I know of some people, some Christians, who want to please God through their actions. They want to be accepted because of how good they are, how kind they are. Brothers and sisters, no matter how good you are, no matter how kind you are, without the Lord Jesus, it is empty. In fact, I doubt that you can be righteous without him. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 3, verse 23 through 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. We need Jesus. We all need repentance. We all need to abandon our old ways of life and come close to him by faith and embrace him by faith. And let him guide our lives. Let Jesus guide you. You need him. Both in this life and in the life to come. This is the second lesson we take from Paul's life. Number one, no matter how sinful you are, you're not so sinful that God would not love you. Number two, no matter how righteous you think you are, still you need Jesus in your life. And this brings me to the conclusion of today's message. The two lessons. And if anything, what I preached today has to stay in your heart, go back with these two lessons. That God still loves you. No matter what situation you're going through, you know, sometimes we go, life beats us so hard and we wonder, where is God? Right? Does he love me? Yes, he does. Right? I want us to take some time to pray and call Jesus into your heart today. If you are already in that walk, perhaps you are already in that walk, call him to pray for him to strengthen you more. Pray for him to reveal himself to you more. But perhaps you're not there yet, right? Ask him by revelation to reveal himself into your life so that you live this transformed life, that you live this God-led life through Jesus. Let us take some time to pray now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for your love. And Father, you have died for us, Lord. Manifest yourself in my heart. I love you today, Lord. Thank you. Glory be to your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one like you, Lord. You are holy and kind. Thank you, Father. No one like you, Lord. Thank you.